They were often joined by other order members for dinner now, because the borough had replaced Number 12 Grimald Place as the headquarters. Mr. Weasley had explained that after the death of Dumbledore, their secret keeper, each of the people to whom Dumbledore had confided Grimald Place's location had become a secret keeper in turn.
"And as there are around 20 of us, that greatly dilutes the power of the Fidelius charm. 20 times as many opportunities for the Death Eaters to get the secret out of somebody. We can't expect it to hold much longer."
"But surely Snape will have told the Death Eaters the address by now?" asked Harry.
"Well, Mad-Eye set up a couple of curses against Snape in case he turns up there again. We hope they'll be strong enough both to keep him out and to bind his tongue if he tries to talk about the place, but we can't be sure. It would have been insane to keep using the place's headquarters now that its protection has become so shaky."
The kitchen was so crowded that evening, it was difficult to manoeuvre knives and forks. Harry found himself crammed beside Ginny. The unsaid things that had just passed between them made him wish they had been separated by a few more people. He was trying so hard to avoid brushing her arm, he could barely cut his chicken. "No news about Mad-Eye?" Harry asked Bill.
"Nothing,"
replied Bill. They had not been able to hold a funeral for Moody because Bill and Lupin had failed to recover his body. It had been difficult to know where he might have fallen, given the darkness and the confusion of the battle.
"The Daily Prophet hasn't said a word about him dying or about finding the body," Bill went on. "But that doesn't mean much. It's keeping a lot quiet these days."
"And they still haven't called a hearing about all the underage magic I used escaping the Death Eaters?" Harry called across the table to Mr. Weasley, who shook his head.
"Because they know I had no choice, or because they don't want me to tell the world Voldemort attacked me?"
"The latter, I think. Scrimgeour doesn't want to admit that you know who is as powerful as he is, nor that Azkaban's seen a mass breakout."
"Yeah, why tell the public the truth?" said Harry, clenching his knife so tightly that the faint scars on the back of his right hand stood out, white against his skin.
"I must not tell lies."
"Isn't anyone at the Ministry prepared to stand up to him?" asked Ron angrily.
"Of course, Ron, but people are terrified," Mr. Weasley replied. "Terrified that they will be next to disappear, their children the next to be attacked. There are nasty rumours going around. I, for one, don't believe the Muggle Studies professor at Hogwarts resigned. She hasn't been seen for weeks now. Meanwhile, Scrimgeour remains shut up in his office all day. I just hope he's working on a plan."
There was a pause in which Mrs. Weasley magicked the empty plates onto the work surface and served apple tart.
"We must decide how you will be disguised, Harry," said Fleur once everyone had pudding. "For the wedding," she added, when he looked confused. "Of course, none of our guests are Death Eaters, but we cannot guarantee that they will not let something slip after they have had champagne."
From this, Harry gathered that she still suspected Hagrid.
"Yes, good point,"
said Mrs. Weasley from the top of the table where she sat, spectacles perched on the end of her nose, scanning an immense list of jobs that she had scribbled on a very long piece of parchment.
"Now, Ron, have you cleaned out your room yet?"
"Why?"
exclaimed Ron, slamming his spoon down and glaring at his mother.
"Why does my room have to be cleaned out? Harry and I are fine with it the way it is."
"We are holding your brother's wedding here in a few days' time, young man."
"And are they getting married in my bedroom?" asked Ron furiously.
"No.
So, why in the name of Merlin's saggy left—"
"Don't talk to your mother like that," said Mr. Weasley firmly, "and do as you're told."
Ron scowled at both his parents, then picked up his spoon and attacked the last few mouthfuls of his apple tart.
"I can help. Some of it's my mess," Harry told Ron, but Mrs. Weasley cut across him.
"No, Harry dear, I'd much rather you helped Arthur muck out the chickens. And Hermione, I'd be ever so grateful if you'd change the sheets for Monsieur and Madame Delacour. You know they're arriving at 11 tomorrow morning."